Gotta wait for that bass. And Tina.
Tina fucking Weymouth. So
oh, yeah.
Good.
Welcome
that
back.
Hoffner bass.
Welcome back to Robbie G Knows Music featuring Joey G. I'm your host, Joey G. And you're listening to episode 2 of our comprehensive, encyclopedic, I should have faded out instead of pausing, and complete retrospective on the career, the recordings, and the legacy of Talking Heads. Joining me, my guest, is the eponymous Robbie G.
Hello!
And as I mentioned, I'm your host, Joey G.
Hello!
This is episode 2, entitled, More Pods About Talking and Heads. So yes, let's get right into it, shall
we? Nailed it.
Last week we talked about 77, or Talking Heads, apostrophe 77. Don't leave out the apostrophe. It's important. And Robbie G, you texted me this week and you said you had a controversial opinion.
So controversial.
About this record. Which
their follow-up. Their sophomore.
The 1978 sophomore release. You know, did they hit a sophomore slump? Did they pull it up? How? We'll find out on More Songs About Buildings and Food. Robbie G, what's your controversial opinion?
Well, here we go. Are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? Would you like
You can see me doing this.
Joe, this is the straight dope. Would you like the straight dope?
Fine.
Okay. The softest of Moors, when it comes to Talking Heads. More. What's the name of this record?
More Songs About Buildings and Food.
I think is a very good follow-up to 77.
That's not controversial at all.
I think 77 is better. Is a better record.
Now that's controversial.
I think I like it more.
You like this
and,
more?
No, I think I like 77 more, and I think that it's better. For a number of reasons, however...
You're wrong about one
of
those things.
Don't get me
you
wrong.
You do not like it better.
Oh, okay.
No, you are wrong about one of those things. I can't say you're wrong about liking the other one better. I mean, you're fucking stupid, but that's beside the point. But
good.
This is an objective.
Good to know I'm in
record.
A very friendly environment to share your opinions.
You're in a safe place.
You know what I feel like right now? I feel like Tina fucking Weymouth.
Why?
Because I'm so good at bass.
Oh.
I'm awesome. No, I think this is a great. This is a good record.
Yeah.
I think this has a lot of really, really high points. I think it, to me, I know what you feel about this record, and I share that same opinion. However, I just think it's more a negative and less a positive. I still think, don't get me wrong, I still think this is a solid, 8.5 out of 10. Maybe even a 9 out of 10.
So this,
really good.
This is an album
really
that,
good.
To me, is very much, they took the sound from the first record, they polished it up real nice.
With their
they tightened
music
up.
Polisher.
They had some tighter,
see, that's
and more
something,
interesting arrangements.
So much music. Just tighten.
They tightened
righty
it up.
Tighty.
They tightened it right up. They turned it right.
So many bands are like Lefty Loosey.
Not these guys.
Not these guys.
No, they... And
see,
they,
I don't think they tightened
they
it up.
Hooked up with Mr. Brian Eno, who just really pigeonholed them in there, got them... Just tightened up that sound, gave them a much fuller sound, more interesting arrangements, better songs... And it's really darn good.
It is a very good record. I would say, though, that...
You would!
It sounds to me like this more is shooting for what Remain in Light is.
No,
and I know you disagree.
I do.
But let me get this out of my face.
Get it
and
out.
Then you can
then
take it, you can bounce it around, throw it through a hoop... Loosen it.
Shit on it.
Let me just Lefty Loosey this for a moment. To me, this evolution, this step in the band, is a little bit of a Lefty Loosey. A little bit of a Lefty Loosey. Because 77 was a righty tighty. That's a tight record.
Could you
tight
maybe say your
record.
Opinion without saying it so stupid?
I think a lot of the songs really start to delve into a jammy sort of ambient territory that seems...
So.
Now this word is too. Now this phrase is too harsh, because I don't think this, but a lot of the ideas.
So this is a for lack of a better term.
For lack of a better term, half baked.
Explain yourself. Give me an example. What is half baked on this album?
There's a couple songs. You didn't write it or record specifics. It. So why you're so goddamn defensive is beyond me.
I want specifics of what you think is half-baked on a perfect record.
There are... I don't think it's a perfect record. I think it's a very good record.
Give me an example.
I think songs like With Our Love. I think songs like... I'll show you the songs that I really, really love.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Okay. Thank You for Sending Me an Angel, I think is one of the strongest track ones of a record ever. The way
you're
that it
right.
bounces in, that it's immediately with a charge, that's perfect. It's a great way to start a record.
I think that that song right there is them taking that, like, that jangly, anxiety-ridden sound of the first album and going, there, we got it perfect, we got it right, and now we can move on.
Yes.
On track one, they perfect the sound from the first album on track one, and then they move on, Rob.
But when they move on, it branches out and it kind of expands into territory that I think kind of meanders.
You think With Our Love is meandering?
A little bit.
This is some white boy funk right here.
That's a great tune.
It's excellent.
See, again, I'm just... like, fantastic tune.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man. And
so
again, all of what I say about this record isn't, I mean, it is critical, but I mean, I still think that this record's impeccable. But I just think what I really, really liked about the first record is like what you said about Thank You for Sending Me an Angel. That's a very structured song. It's got verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. Whereas a lot of the other songs still have that structure, but there are bridges where there are certain sections.
And there's like musicality to them.
Yeah, but to meander and kind of just
jamming
a little bit, I don't think is breathing.
It's not even jamming.
I think it's
either.
Just.
There's no, I don't think there's any jamming on this album.
Probably.
There's nothing on this album that sounds improv to me. Because there's no like extended solos. There's no like the band sitting back and letting somebody step and letting Trey step up and shred for 10 minutes, which I'm a big fan of. But there's nothing like that on this album. Can you stop making that sound with your face, please?
I find, so here's me, okay? I'm in my car.
Okay.
The one I own.
Okay.
And I'm
you didn't steal
driving down the road, okay?
All right, you're driving down the road.
100 kilometers an hour.
I hope this analogy goes somewhere.
When I was listening to these records, I listened to them primarily in my car. The sound system in my car is really, really good. And I have long treks to work and whatnot.
yeah,
so I was listening to them.
Long drive.
Half an hour. Full record I can get and listen to on the way to work.
Not this one. This one's 42 minutes.
I know. I can listen to...
Most of it.
That's
why you don't know...
But the sound system...
That's why you didn't know The Big Country very well.
Yeah, I wasn't that familiar
with
it.
That's the last song on
the
album.
I felt every song off 77 jumped out at me and really, really cemented in my head. And like I retained all that information and all those riffs, and they really, really stuck with me. This record is starting to go into what I talked about last week, right?
Sure. To them, we did that 10 minutes ago, but they don't know that. Now they do.
Now they do.
We're recording two at a time. We're gang shooting these.
Doing this off like gangbusters. Okay. I don't know. I just wanted to use the word gang in something. This record is a really, really great collection from A to Z. A lot of the songs just, they aren't filler so much as they're not even placeholders, because that sounds negative, because there's only good songs on this record. There's no bad songs on this record.
I agree.
There are some songs that I don't think are as prominent or as strong as how I thought every song on 77 was strong record.
The same opinion, but you have my opinion from 77 and I have your...
I think we did a little switcheroo.
You feel about this album the way I feel about 77.
Yes.
In that it's very good, but it's not as good as this one.
Yes. We did a little switcheroo.
Like I said this to you earlier off the mic, that to me, Talking Head 77 is the embryo for more songs about buildings and food, where they take everything from that album, and then they played all these songs, and they learned how to do all these songs, and then they went in and just said, okay, we can do that, but better. And so they did that, but better, on this album.
Yeah.
And I cannot say enough about the influence of Brian Eno on this album, because
I do hear
it's
a
no
Brian
coincidence
Eno
that the three
it.
Best Talking Heads albums all have Brian Eno on them.
I believe in the biz, and I would know. I'm a musician. Is it's
I'm
called
a pelican.
It's called. I don't even remember what I was doing.
Something about Brian Eno.
Yeah.
Some trivia. The frontman from XTC, Andy Partridge, claims to have given the title of this album to David Byrne, but that's not what Tina fucking Weymouth thinks. So.
Tina fucking Weymouth? This album contains my favorite bass line by Tina fucking Weymouth. Found a Job.
Found a Job is an excellent song.
Yeah.
And, okay, wait a second. That's your favorite song on this album?
Yeah.
That's the jam. It's the only song on this album that I would actually say gets jammy. That is the jammiest song by far on this whole album.
Well,
the whole
I mean,
last
it doesn't
3 minutes
really...
is that like extended riff on the when he keeps just switching the chord back and forth. From that, I'll show you. Like, it is the only song on the album that I would actually. When you were saying how it's got some jamminess to it, I was like, eh, maybe that one song. But that's the only one that I
yeah,
think
that,
is
that,
jammy.
There's bits throughout the record that sound like that to me. That are, they kind of meander like that.
So this is it for the last 2 minutes of the song, which I fucking adore, is this.
But it doesn't sound, no, and yeah, you're right, and it is kind of jamming like that. I do love this song, though.
But it is by far the only song on the album.
Well, I don't
think
it's
really
the
jammy.
Only one.
Well,
I
mean, I
want to give you other examples.
I think I kind of see what you're saying, because... But I think it's less because it's more jammy and more because like their musical ideas were better realized and they were able to actually spend some time on those ideas instead of just coming in with that. I mean, I won't say any Talking Heads songs sound the same, but of all their albums, 77 to me is the samiest. Like, I don't think any of the songs sound... It's not like a punk rock album where they all pretty much sound like the same thing. But it is probably the samiest in terms of like
I would start,
style and dynamics.
I would
stuff.
Start a band called The Samiest with you.
The Samiest? I don't want to be in a band with you, but...
Heartbeat. Why wouldn't you want to be in a band with me?
Because you're
me?
A fucking dick.
Wow. I haven't called you a single name. You've called me
yeah,
several names.
That's on you.
Is it?
It's not my fault. Nope. Who's stomping you?
Stomping?
I'll stomp you if you
don't
tell
stomp
me fucking
me.
Names.
Don't I didn't. Me. I haven't called you a single name. I
yeah,
because
you know I'd stomp you.
Polite. And
you're
kind.
Dill hole.
All I've been giving you, Joe, is the straight dope.
This whole album, top to bottom, is excellent. Flawless.
I wouldn't say that it's flawless.
It's like, I mean, we'll get into it later, but I feel the same way about this album that I do about Remain in Light when comparing it to its predecessor. So, More Songs About Building and Food is like the fully realized version of 77, where everything clicks and is perfect. And then they go Fear of Music, where they go and try to not completely change their sound, but they go off in some way new directions. They start doing that polyrhythmic stuff. They start doing those African tinge things. They start getting into like longer, weirder dynamic shifts and some of like songs like Drugs or Electric Guitar on Fear of Music, which we'll get into those. And then all those sounds to me get perfectly realized on Remain in Light. And then again, once they conquer that, okay, that's perfect. Then they move on and they do it again with Speaking in Tongues. They start doing that dancey pop record. And then Little Creatures is sort of like the perfect synthesis of that pop sound, and they make the perfect tight pop record. And then Two Stories and Naked are the ones that don't fit my theory at all because they're total outliers and because they're completely different, and one of them shouldn't have even
well,
been talking
that
about
House of Cards
we're gonna get to them.
Has tumbled to the ground, hasn't it?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I feel like Brian Eno came in and like helped them nail down exactly what they wanted to sound like, and they just fucking nailed it. And also this album was more collaborative than the first one as well.
Was it?
I mean, again, most of the songs were written by David Byrne, but there's some other ones in here that have some other co-authors. I mean, not a lot.
Co-authors!
More. Actually, yeah, there's only a couple. Like, Warning Sign was a co-composition between Byrne and France. And Artists Only was Byrne, Wayne, and Ziv. I don't actually know who those guys are. Some friends of his, I guess. And Stay Hungry was Byrne in France. And then there's a cover. Which was the only single from the album. The cover, Take Me to the River, was
I
the
thought
only
that was
single.
An original. I didn't realize that was a cover.
No, it's an old Al Green song.
Oh.
Yeah.
Alan
Green. But they
Alan.
Put their own unique stamp
favorite
on it.
Name,
I mean,
color.
It's one of those covers that I think has become so...
Synonymous with Talking Heads.
Yeah, that like... people who were fans of Al Green maybe know that Al Green recorded that song first, and maybe at the time, but now having,
like,
you know,
old Johnny, Mr. Cash, taking that real piece of shit from Nine Inch Nails and making it a good song.
You know, upon hearing that song, like, at first, I remember I read that Trent Reznor was kind of like, oh, good, Johnny Cash is covering one of my songs. And then he heard it and was, like, crying and said, well, this isn't my song anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't play it anymore.
Because he says it's not mine anymore. I can't play it. It's not. But yeah, this is the original. This is Take Me to the River by Al Green.
By Nine Inch Nails.
By Nine Inch Nails.
By Nin.
So already you can hear, like, what a big stamp that the Talking Heads put on it.
You know what's a really good addition to this song?
David Byrne.
Tina.
Tina fucking Weymouth. Yeah.
Fucking Weymouth.
Her bass is so big and boom.
It's a fantastic bass line.
And also just like the really like heavy backbeat.
Kind of like, I love the way that they cover it. I like covers. Tell me if you agree with me. When I hear covers of songs, I almost feel like it's pointless unless you completely reinvent it. Whereas Talking Heads did that with this song, ultimately. I love, for example, the cover of... The Breeders have a cover of Happiness is a Warm Gun.
Happiness.
That doesn't sound anything like the Beatles version. Another perfect... like, and they don't... What they do is they turn it into a Breeders song, which is what Talking Heads did with Take Me to the River.
Yeah.
The other example that I was thinking of is I Can't Get No Satisfaction by Devo, taking that Stones song and completely reinventing it.
That's one of the few examples of, like, one of my favorite bands covering a song where I prefer the original. Like, well, I really like the Devo version, but the original is, like,
the best, iconic,
the best white guy blues song ever.
It's pretty fantastic. But that was more just an example of covers that are complete reinventions.
For me, like, my favorite example of that, other than the Talking Heads song, I think would be the Feelies cover of Everybody's Got Something to Hide Except for Me and My Monkey.
That's a pretty good cover.
Which
I
is
like the Feelies.
You know, I agree. I don't feel like the only point in doing it is if you reinvent it, because I know a lot
of covers that don't. No, I wouldn't say that's the only point. I think that's what I love.
The only time that a cover, like, completely surpasses and replaces the original, and there's lots of examples, like Joe Cocker's version of A Little Help for My Friends is, like... night and day to the Beatles version.
Yeah.
The Beatles version is just like, and here's a controversial opinion for you. Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, it's a good album. It might be the most overrated rock and roll album in history.
I would say Zeppelin 4 is.
No, because Zeppelin 4 I actually think holds up if you listen to it top to bottom. Sgt. Pepper's holds up, but there's a lot of fucking songs on Sgt. Pepper that I could do without ever hearing again. And like
Lucy in the Sky.
But also nobody holds up Zeppelin 4 as high as Sgt. Pepper. Like, I was talking to Nicole about this today. I like the Beatles a lot. I think only maybe two of their albums you could even have in the conversation about being top 10 of all time. And that'd be Revolver and maybe the White Album.
White Album, for sure.
I would pick Revolver. I think that's one of their albums that's truly perfect. But even though my favorite is Abbey Road, but I think Revolver's their only perfect album.
Abbey Road and Let It Be are both pretty perfect records.
Let It Be is not perfect at all.
Yeah, it is.
Let It Be is good, but Let It Be is, like, obvious that they're not a band anymore. You can hear how much they hate each other on that album. But Abbey Road, I think, is really cool.
Amazing.
But my point is that it's just so annoying whenever you... Anytime you look at a top 10 albums of all time list, there's always four Beatles albums on it. And it's always Sgt. Pepper, and then there's usually the White Album, and usually Revolver, and usually maybe Rubber Soul or the White Album or something.
We get it. You hate the Beatles.
I like the Beatles. I just think that of all the Beatles albums, it's weird that Sgt. Pepper gets so much love.
Did you kill John Lennon?
I did.
Dick.
And George Harrison.
What?
I am the cancer. That's a Sloan song.
I also don't... I mean...
Magical Mystery Tour is also better than Sgt. Pepper.
Yes. It's controversial in the grand scheme of most people's music opinions.
Not
to me.
Also, people are just like, yeah, they went like psychedelic and like other bands did psychedelic.
Not really.
Okay,
kind of.
What bothers me though is that it came out in 67, right? And they're like, this album blew minds. It was like so out there and amazing. And I was just like, have you ever heard Freak Out? It came out the year before and it was also the first rock double album. Fuck you, the Beatles. Everyone gives the credit to the Beatles for the White Album. Blonde on Blonde and Freak Out both came out before that album.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're right.
Motherfuckers.
Take that.
Anyway, I don't know why I'm so mad about this.
Yeah. I personally am not angry about the Beatles. Maybe, Joe, you should take it a step down. You're so mad.
I'm just saying that that's an overrated album.
I agree with you that I... And let's talk about more overrated. Some overrated albums. I like Zeppelin just fine, but I would say that Zeppelin is one of the most overrated bands of all time.
I don't think they are.
I think they are.
I don't know. I think they're really good.
Oh, no, no. I think they're fantastic, but...
No, you don't. You never listen to Zeppelin. You're such a fucking liar.
No, I'm not that much of a liar. I like Led Zeppelin.
Every time I like a band that's like obvious, you're just like, mmm.
Fuck you. I am not the pretentious wang you make me out to be.
Okay, maybe not the one I make you out to be, but you're a little bit of a...
How?
Wang. You make fun of me whenever I listen to Van Halen or Def Leppard.
That's because they suck.
Or Kiss.
That's because they're awful.
Kiss is not awful. Kiss has a lot of... Here's the worst problem with Kiss. They just have too many albums.
Oh, terrible. I'm trying to think. Here's one that you'll definitely agree with. I take back Led Zeppelin being the most overrated band of all time, because that was mostly to make your brain explode.
It didn't.
Okay, shit.
I like
this. You'll agree with. I actually think, legitimately, the most overrated band of all time is Nirvana. I think Nevermind is the most overrated album of all time, and I really like In Utero. I like Nirvana. But people poop their pants.
It's not controversial to say that to me because you know that I hate Nirvana.
I know that.
I don't like a single Nirvana song.
Really?
Like, I don't even... like. I like Smells Like Teen Spirit when Weird Al plays it because his band can play their instruments. And here's the thing. The guys in Nirvana play their instruments. They just weren't allowed because that was against the rules of that shitty music. And then later on I discovered... Look, I don't like Pearl Jam either. 10 times better band than Nirvana.
You're drunk.
Pearl Jam is the worst. I don't even like Pearl Jam, and they're so much better than Nirvana. Oh, I fucking
In Utero,
hate,
I think, is a solid record.
I fucking hate Nirvana. A bunch of mopey kids, and then their hero fucking killed themselves. Well, that's good. I think he should have killed himself. I think the world is a better place. And you know what? Courtney Love should kill herself, too.
Wow.
And they should have back in the old days.
The old day, like... horse-drawn carriage?
Before they were in bands. Oh. When they were teenagers. Before the world knew who they were. Because now, I can't fucking swing a dead cat without hitting somebody being like, do you like Nirvana? Nobody ever asked me this. I don't know what
I'm saying. Regret bringing this up immediately.
The point is, Rob, more songs about buildings and food. But I totally agree with you. Nirvana is probably the most overrated band of all time. Although, I feel like there are fewer detractors to like me. There are a few people like me when it comes to Nirvana than there are for the Beatles. I think there are some people maybe who, like, I feel like there are fewer haters for the Beatles.
Way fewer haters for
Beatles. I mean, like, there are people who are like, I hate the fucking Beatles, man, but it's just like...
They just hate people talking about the Beatles.
I'm just like, no, it's partly that, it's also partly, like, me wanting to say, it doesn't make you interesting. Like, a lot of people, and I was definitely one of them, and I'm learning this as I get older, how many things I came down hard on in the day just because I was different.
Hard on.
Yep. Things like That 70s Show. I'm rewatching That 70s Show. It might be my favorite.
You came down on That 70s Show?
I used to be like, Nicole, because she liked it. I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's got some funny bits, but it's not the best. Same with Friends. I used to bitch about Friends off and on throughout my life. Things that, when they get popular, I'd be like, yeah, I don't like it very much. And then later on, I'll get into them at the end and be like, oh, these are really good. You guys seen this show? You guys seen this That 70s Show? It's really good.
You guys ever seen Everybody Loves Raymond? This guy loves Raymond, let me tell you. I don't like that show.
I don't mind that.
I don't like that show. I don't have a problem with it. I also hate Kevin James. Fuck you, Kevin James.
I know
James.
You do. I don't hate Kevin James
Fuck
at all.
You.
I'm not in his fan club, but I can't say I have any strong feelings.
Well, then why do you carry that card around with you everywhere you go?
I told you. That's my library card.
Why does it have Kevin James' picture?
I honestly...
pasted on the front
because
of it?
I have an eccentric librarian, and she was a fan.
Loves the zookeeper and wishes she was one. Wishes she was not a librarian. Wishes she was a zookeeper. What I'm trying to say is that I'm not the pretentious wang you make me out to be.
Again, I agree, but you are a pretentious wang.
No, I just hate Def Leppard. I think it's hair metal in general.
And that's fine.
I don't like it.
I don't
like Judas Priest.
I'm not
going like to
stand
Iron
up
Maiden.
And try and convince you that like...
Sit down,
that,
Joe.
That most,
Sit
that
down.
Most hair metal was like really good music. No, it's cock rock. But I can appreciate cock rock and you can't for some reason.
Well, it's because it's bad.
That's the thing. I don't understand why you can't even... Because like... You, this, we've had this discussion lots, where like you can't even appreciate music you don't like performed extraordinarily well. Like,
that's horse shit.
Phil Collins,
absolute horse
shit. You don't like
shit.
Joe Satriani.
No, because he's a wanky asshole.
That's
but
what
I've
mean.
Never once said that he can't play the guitar. That guy can play the shit out of...
You're
same as Steve
like,
Vai.
No, but you're
they can
like,
play the shit
play
out of guitar.
You get there and just like jerks off.
He does.
No, he's awesome.
Because it's... Okay. Dream Theater. I don't like Dream Theater. Everyone in that band is amazing. Everyone in that band is so exceptional at their instruments. They happen to make music that makes me want to grow a goatee and shoot myself in the mouth. Like,
that's interesting.
Not in that order. Kiss. I get why people love bands like Kiss and Def Leppard and Van Halen.
I don't know that you do.
I do.
Because all you ever do is like, with the Iron Maiden. Another band that's fun to listen to.
Hate.
You just don't like having fun. You don't like music that is fun. You don't like it when music is fun. And that's the old... Like, here's the thing. I'm not going to try and convince you that bands
Weird
like
Al.
Kiss and Def Leppard have any value beyond being fun.
I love fun
bands.
Fun. I love fun bands. I love Squirrel Nut Zippers. I love They Might Be Giants. I love Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah, but all those bands... All
Lit.
Those bands have lots more going for them. Than, like, the only thing about There Might Be Giants isn't that they're fun. They are fun.
Name some other bands
also,
that you would think are just fun that you'd think I would normally hate.
Well, most hair metal bands.
But they're... Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Because they're
okay,
just
keep
like
going.
Poppy cock rock numbers. I mean, it's mostly classic rock and hair metal that I
classic
that you
rock,
come down on me about.
Yeah.
Because most everything else that I listen to, you either don't have an opinion or you agree with me. It's not usually like...
Listen.
It's only when I'm just like, yeah, I was listening to some Ozzy Osbourne. You're just like...
Oh. Ozzy Osbourne.
I'm like, hey, how you doing there?
I like Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath
yeah.
is good.
I like Black Sabbath, but I only really like two of their albums, and they're the ones with Ronnie James Dio on them.
Oh, great.
Because he's way better than Ozzy Osbourne. But anyway, you're listening to the Talking Heads podcast. So let's go through the songs.
Each one?
Yeah. We don't have to listen to them all, but we've already said, thank you for sending me an angel.
One of the best
More
opening
like,
tracks.
Thank you for sending me a great song, David.
Right?
It's really good.
It's fantastic. And
it's also the second number, or the third song, rather, on Stop Making Sense.
Which was the first place that I heard it.
Because on that album, well, we'll get to it, but it's cool how they did that for that whole tour. They would start with just David on guitar with the geet on stage with the guitar. And then for the second song, I think...
Tina Weymouth comes out and they play Heaven.
Third song, Chris Franz comes out. And then the fourth song, the whole band is there. And then the fifth song, the rest, because starting with that tour, they had a 10-piece band.
Bernie Worrell.
Bernie Worrell was there, yeah, exactly. And Adrian Belew on guitar.
That's cool.
It is cool.
Very cool.
He plays on Rain and Light as well. Anyway.
Earlier in this episode, previously, on... More
Previously,
podcasting
on,
about talking and heads.
Heads.
It sounded as though I was coming down on With Our Love.
It did.
It
you
not,
said that you didn't like it very much.
No. I said that I thought that there's some songs on it that don't jump out and immediately grab my attention.
So
now,
jump out. Here it goes, it's jump out.
With Our Love does.
Does jump out.
It does, because I misspoke.
Yeah.
And I don't know which song I was thinking about. But the way that this song actually intros...
This one, was it the good thing?
No, I like this song. I like all these songs. It might have been The Girl Wants to Be... No, The Girl Wants to Be with a Boy.
The Girls Want to Be with the Girls is my favorite song off this album.
The Girls, sorry. That's a very good song. Warning Sign, let's see. I think this one took a little bit to get started for me. It's good. Again, all the songs on this record are good, but this one...
Tina fucking Weymouth.
Weymouth? She did some stuff with the Gorillaz, hey?
Really?
This actually sounds kind of Sonic Youth-y.
And her hubby are also Tom Tom Club.
Tom Tom! Have you ever listened to a full Tom Tom Club record?
I have all their
records. Because I do too, but I have not actually listened to them from
their
the beginning.
Their self-titled album is spectacular.
It might be Artists Only. That's
a great song.
No, this is an excellent song. Okay. Well, aren't we just uncovering...
Hungry,
aren't we just revealing
hungry,
me to be a piece of shit?
Stay hungry, stay hungry.
I really do love this record. I just like 77 a little bit more. This song is very good. What's this song?
I'm Not in Love.
That's a really good like a mid-range tone too. Typically their stuff is even a little bit tinnier and more trebly, but that tone specifically, it sounds like it's coming out of a Telecaster with like out of both pickups with knobs. I don't know what he plays either.
I've seen him play a Strat.
He probably does play. I know that the other guitar player plays a Strat a lot. Let's see.
Gary Harrison.
Let's find out what his gear is, shall we?
How do you find that out, Rob?
The worldwide interweb. Okay. Usually people list that on Wikipedia.
Wikipedia? I don't know if it is on this record.
Son of
But like, image. Yeah, I mean, I've said it and said it and said it and said it. But like, yeah, Brian Eno.
Fender really Duosonic just... and a Stratocaster. Okay.
What's a Duosonic?
So a Duosonic is basically like the guitar that Thurston Moore uses.
Brian Eno also plays some synthesizers, like pianos, percussion, yeah, and background singing on this one as well.
That kind of Fender guitar, that weird Duosonic sort of guitar, really gets a lot of those awesome, like, jangly, mid-range, weirder tones that... like a cool vintage sort of style. I really, really love all the guitar tones that they get. And Fender makes the coolest sounding guitars. I'm a huge Fender advocate. I also work for Fenders. Yeah. And I go on Fender benders.
I also really like the album cover, which is a photo mosaic of the band comprised of 529 close-up Polaroid photographs.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it was conceived by Byrne and executed by artist Jimmy DeSana. So well done, Jimmy.
Does David Byrne also do a lot of visual art?
Yeah, a lot, yeah. Art school kid, man.
Art school kid.
It peaked at number 29 on the Billboard pop charts, and the album's one single, which is weird because all their other albums have at least three singles.
Yeah.
Or some of the live ones have two.
Did they make a lot of music videos or any at all?
Yeah, they made a few, yeah. I don't think they made any until, I know there's at least one on Remain in Light. There's one for Once in a Lifetime.
That one, right?
That... I mean, this changes every week, but that might be my favorite Talking Heads song, maybe.
Let's save that for the end. For the end. Okay. For the last episode, we'll talk about our favorite record, about our favorite song, talk about our favorite member, but spoiler alert.
Tina fucking Weymouth.
That's your favorite member of the Talking Heads?
No.
Spoiler alert.
David Byrne. And then Tina fucking Weymouth. I think I'm trying to articulate why I like 77 a little bit more, and I think I have about 1,000 times now.
Yeah, but, I mean, you can articulate it all you want. It's not going to make it any more right.
I think, nah, I don't know. I guess I have an affinity for 77 just a little bit more, just maybe because it seems slightly simpler.
I also like the lyrics and vocals on this album better than the first one.
The lyrics are better on this record, definitely. I think a lot of his, like... For example, in Found a Job.
Great song.
Best bass line. What's the vocal I'm thinking of here? That David Byrne does something he kind of perfects with this song.
Judy's in the bedroom. Invented situation.
Yeah, he gets those really like simple. Yeah, that really high one. And he kind of experiments with almost like operatic vibrato that he does. Where he does that, where it's a simple melody, da, da, na, 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 na. Like that's just a scale going down, but he makes it so compelling and interesting to listen to because of the warble in his voice, because of his shaky voice town, if you know what I mean. He takes us to Shake Town.
I feel like that song on this album has the most barking.
Yes. Oh, we didn't even talk about the bass line there. Let me do it for you. Yeah. Brilliant bass line.
Really good.
Really, really, really great.
We're going to be recreating all of the Talking Heads bass lines on this podcast, on our next podcast called Bases Covered.
Got our bases covered.
Robin Joe, bases covered.
Very, very good.
That's our band. We go on stage and we just sing the Talking Head bass lines.
So this came out a mere
365. I don't know if it was 365 in a day, but it was exactly. a year later.
And then the next record, so they're just like popping them out
once a year.
That's
how it used to be, insane. Rob, back in the good old days.
Yes. I actually agree with you that when... Well, I wasn't alive during that time. However, I it like the idea us, yeah. of like a rec- of being that prolific. I really love that idea.
It's easier and you only have to write 40 minutes of music.
Yeah.
Now when people are putting out 80 minutes, it's every 2 years. So, I mean, it's the same amount of music, but...
I guess... I mean, some bands take, like, huge hiatuses between some records and make
the But, same. I mean, a lot of the reason for that is because the business is different and they have to tour to make any
the
money.
The biz!
Because selling records now doesn't mean anything because nobody does.
Yeah, that's a good
point. Because there's no reason to because you can just get it on the internet.
I agree. You can do that.
Stream it.
Stream that.
Or steal it. You can download it for free. You shouldn't. At least not with Talking Heads.
I really like this Google Play nonsense.
I like it too. I don't know that the artists get very good royalties because of it. I don't know very much about it.
But then again, we don't own the MP3s from downloading it though, right? So you're not technically purchasing it. I mean, they get like the way that when you download it onto your phone,
yeah,
you're only allowed to then stream it still from Google Play, right?
No, you download it to your phone and you have it on your phone.
You don't have the MP3s though. You don't get to actually keep. You don't have
those. Right, like, but my point is they still don't get... Like, if that's how everyone changes to listening to music, like, the artists don't get very good royalties from streaming services like Spotify or Google Play.
No, but I think it's good for a lot of small... Like, it's good for...
Anything that makes people listen to music is good.
Me.
It's... Here's the thing. The person it's best for is Google. Yeah. And it's second best for us. And then it's probably then down the line somewhere it's good for the artists.
I set up a page for the... For Ghost Factory,
okay,
music that I make,
yeah.
And there's and I haven't put up anything yet because I'm still researching the actual contract and how royalties and stuff like that work. So I'm not actually fully well versed in it, but it doesn't seem too nefarious or like.
Well, it's just not very much. That's why yeah. nefarious is that it's not very much.
Yeah, nefarious. Nelly's brother.
Oh, that's
brilliant.
True.
Really good at the hip.
I'm pretty sure you made that up.
Nope. Nope. He wears a Band-Aid on his face because...
No, that's Nelly.
Yeah, yeah. Nelly wears a Band-Aid on his face because yeah. Nefarious, who is nefarious for being in prison, is in prison.
Wow, you're as stupid as your opinions.
Great.
That's actually the subtitle of our podcast.
This is hostile.
Well, you shouldn't have come out swinging on more songs about buildings and food. There's going to be more beatings
I mean,
on your face
and
neck.
If by swinging you mean a guy who comes out with a pool noodle and goes, I like this, but this is why I don't like it as much as something
Here's
else.
The thing. This is how it feels every time I come out and say that I don't like Firefly as much as other people. Or whenever I say...
But I have never given you shit
for... Or whenever I say, like, hey, Joss Whedon is all right, but I think here's some problems with him. And then I just get battered around the face and neck.
Do I call you stupid?
No, but again, that's on you. You could. No one would stop you. I might. I might have some words, some choice words, some choice cuts. And the first cut is the deepest.
The deepest cut?
Isn't that by Poison? The first cut is the deepest?
I don't know.
Every rose has its thorn.
Oh, no.
Just like...
Oh, oh that's not good. That's not good.
I kind of like that song.
No, Cock you don't. Rock. I don't think you do.
I also like Don't Need Nothing But a Good Time. And the other one I like by them. What's the other one I like by them? That other song.
I've been trying to find that out for years.
What's that other Poison song I like? It was in Rock Band.
Oh, I know.
The one where like he's like
I've been thinking about it all day.
I never seen you look so good.
Yeah. Good.
You never
it's great.
The way you should.
Yeah, keep doing this. All right. Okay.
But I like it.
I like it. Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
Something gonna save
All right. Joey,
you.
Here's a question. Why do I have to wait a whole second for this shit?
I want you. Beep, beep. Beep, the guy did something. It's been driving. In the old man's Ford. Right the bushes. Screaming for more. Down the
yeah, pretty
basement.
Sure those are the words. Ride the bushes, men and then scream for more.
Door and baby, boom, boom, boom. Talk dirty to me.
Oh, that song's awful.
You tell the chorus to know what I was thinking.
I hate. I didn't know. I just knew that it was shitty, and then I realized I did know it. When did you first hear more songs about buildings?
Well, I'd heard the cover of "Take Me to the River" before.
Where you the sat actual down, album,
I bought
the
CD.
Thing.
Well, the remaster came out in 2005, so it would have been after 2005. So 10 years ago, it would have been 18. So I think I bought it in like 2006.
Because
I don't know, probably about 10 years ago that I actually bought the album.
For full lengths for this band, the first one I heard was Remain in Light, and then Fear of Music. And then I heard the one with the monkey on the front. Oh, Speaking in Tongues before Fear of Music. Actually, I always forget about that record for some reason. I don't know why. Remain in Light, Speaking in Tongues, Fear of Music. Then I heard Naked because I remember it having the monkey on the front. And then this one because you had it and I borrowed it.
Mm-hmm.
Up until this past week, that was all the Talking Heads I'd ever heard, which is almost everything except for two records and 77. And then just this week was the first time I heard 77.
This fresh this in my CD mind. Has been in my car. I mean, each car I've had since I got it in.
And we all congratulate that you for
thanks.
That, bud.
Thanks a lot.
Good job.
Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, I feel like you're being sarcastic. Do you have any albums that have always been in your car?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. That's great.
I always have Crooked Rain, Crooked Rain by Pavement.
I bought a Pavement album at one point.
Good.
I think it was Wowie Zowie.
Was it blue and with like paint on the front?
I'm pretty sure it was Wowie Zowie.
Was it blue?
It was Wowie Zowie.
Was it Wowie Zowie?
I can't name a single song on any of their albums. I remember I bought it only. The only reason I bought that album is because I liked the Frank Zappa song Wowie Zowie. And I thought maybe they covered it.
Nope.
So I bought it to go, hey,
nope.
I wonder if
didn't
they covered
that
song. They should have.
Yeah, I agree. No.
There's
not necessarily records that I always have in my car, but there's always bands or artists that I always have at least one by.
You're always driving them around.
Just drive them everywhere. Taking
them to gigs.
In the, yeah.
Picking them up from soccer practice.
Yeah, sometimes.
Let me guess. So Pavement, you said that already.
Yeah.
Tom Waits.
Yeah.
For No Man.
What?
There's a band called Tom Waits for No Man.
Okay.
They're not very good, but it's a great name for
a band.
Yeah,
they're very good.
The Go-Go's.
Yep, I have their entire disco in my car.
I only know their first two albums.
Discography. No, I don't even... Nope, no,
you
not
know
them.
The Go-Go's, though.
Yeah, but I don't
name
have any...
Name two Go-Go's
that...
songs. I want you to prove that you do know them. Because you say you do, but I think you're
lying. I wanted to move on. I don't know them.
I don't want to move on yet. We're going to talk about the Go-Go's.
Motherfuck a shark. Fine. I'll tell you songs that I'm familiar with by the Go-Go's. That's Sonic the Hedgehog.
I never seen you look so good.
Oh, fuck off.
The Go-Go's had like Vacation All I
Oh, I love that song.
Vacation, traveling to get away. The Go-Go's were great. One of the first like big girl bands.
Great Go-Go. Good. Great
Go-Go.
No,
go,
one of the best.
Gadget, fuck yourself.
And I always have a CD by... at least one by Propaganda, usually. I can guess you. You have a bunch of Live Fish records.
I do. I have several box sets.
You have a couple Grateful Dead records.
I have no Grateful Dead in my car right now.
Fuck off.
Seriously,
fuck off.
Okay. I used to carry a lot, but now I have my phone, so I have lots of Dead on there.
Oh.
So.
Zappa. Franklin Delano Zappa.
Currently, I have two Zappa records in my car.
Yeah.
We're only in it for the
they
money.
They Might Be Giants.
And Joe's Garage. They Might Be Giants. I do have a They Might Be Giants. I have two They Might Be Giants. I have Nanobots, and I have Joy.
We get it. You have a huge car, okay? Enormous.
Dude, I have way too many CDs in my car.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Since that album came out, since Mandatory Fun came out, it has been in my CD changer. Not only in the car, but in the changer.
Wow.
I have a 6-disc changer because I'm pretty baller.
Wow.
I'm a baller.
1%.
I also have a Nicki Minaj CD in my
fuck.
Car.
Right off.
I have Roman Reloaded. I like it.
Don't name one of her records like I'll know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah, you're not a snob. What else do I have in there? I have some jazz in there.
What?
I
want to know that you know jazz.
I have Live at Massey Hall.
Messy Hall.
One of the most famous live jazz albums of all time, Dick. It's got Dizzy Gillespie on it.
Messy.
I have, it's Massey.
Messy.
It's in Montreal.
It was because the hall.
I have Monk's
lots
music.
Of, lots of, Monk's?
And I have,
like Gregorian chant?
Yep.
Joe?
And I have Cookin' and Relaxin' with the Miles Davis Quintet.
You know my favorite Thelonious Monk record?
Is it Monk's music?
No. Solo Monk. It's just Thelonious Monk. Playing the solo P.
I like Monk's music.
That's pretty good.
I also like The Clown by Charlie Mingus, but I don't have that in my
Charlie
car.
Boy
and,
Manson
Mingus. I have that. I have more songs in my car, and I also have... I usually have Remain Light in my car. I'd be surprised if I didn't, but since I got Google Play on my phone, I have less memory of... Oh, I should... We gotta wrap it up.
Okay.
So that's it. We love the album. We'll be back next week.
What's our... What's this... Here, let me do this slogan... all right. Thank you. You're the host, you fucker.
I want to thank you all for sending me an angel. See you next week. I'm Joey G.
I'm Robbie G.
We're going to listen to Fear of Music next week.